So I think I've adopted this term, podcast time.
Podcast time.
Podcast time.
Like a little like a...
podcast time again. And this time we're looking at Abiding Through Silence and Solitude, which was preached by Hugh Pearce.
It was, yeah? Wonderfully, yeah.
Wonderfully preached. Great preach. So, again, I'm just basically looking at, in front of me now, I'm looking at small group notes, and I'm looking at reflect, practice, and response. And I'm just interested in terms of, you know, as we said before we started the podcast, so in a way you're setting the bar, you're setting an expectation, aren't you, that the church is experimenting and trying new things. And I think it's nice for me to then put it back to you to say, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
So, it's a challenge for me to think, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Are you doing anything? But so in terms of reflect then, these questions, one of the questions you put down here was, why do you think Jesus adopted the practice of silence and solitude? And then what can we learn from his example?
I mean, I obviously we can only glean, you know, from the scriptures and kind of infer, you know, Jesus never specifically comes out and says, you know, I've been withdrawing to a desolate place so I can do this. But we know what he did when he withdrew, you know, to the desolate place. He spent time with his father, away from the noises, the distractions, the clamour, the expectations, the responsibilities, you know. So he served out of those periods of silence and solitude. He served, that was his, like, you know, that was going to drink, you know, from the fountain, you know, going to just abide with his father. Like I say, it was, you know, so many pulls on Jesus's time, so many people who, you know, who wanted him, so many things for him to do. I mean, that's the other thing, you know, there. I'm always struck by the bit, I think it's in, you know, the beginning of Mark, where they've just had this, you know, crazy successful ministry day. The crowds have been coming, he's been healing people, you know, and teaching all day. And then the next morning it says, you know, he rose early while it was still dark, you know, went to a desolate place on his own. The disciples get up, they don't know where he is, they've not done the same thing, you know, they've had a lie-in after the busy day before. They're like, where is he? And then they finally find him and they're like, Jesus, everyone's looking for you. And he isn't like, oh my goodness, everyone's looking for me. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was just, you know, out here having some time, you know, alone. Right, I'll get back straight to it. He's like, let's go somewhere else. You know, and he will not be dictated by the crowd. We can only assume the reason he says, let's go somewhere else, is because in that time with the father has said to him, Jesus, it's time to go somewhere else. He, you know, as a man, you know, but also in terms of, as you know, his divine nature, just needed to replenish and refresh himself continually away from the noise of the world, I think. And so as he does that, if he does that, how much more, you know, do we need to do that? So those would be my thoughts.
Yeah,
and he made the point that, you know, we often read that account of him going to the wilderness and then being tempted. That's like when he was at his weakest point because he hadn't eaten for 40 days. And yeah, Hugh's point was actually the wrong way around. Yeah. You know, he's had 40 days of uninterrupted communion with his father. He's been feeding, not on physical things, but feeding on the word. He's been feeding on the truth of who God is, the truth of who he is, so that when the enemy comes, he's at his strongest point. So it's out of that strength. So I think that was a key part. That was like the, you know, the engine room, you know, kind of his ministry was withdrawing to those desolate places to be just refreshed in God.
So in terms of practice, one of the questions you've got here is, what can we look forward to when we enter into this practice? I suppose instead of just talking about the things that Hugh mentioned, which were quite personal, what about you? What have you experienced when you've practiced this?
Well, I have three young children, and, you know, various demands upon my time.
It's like a monastery.
It's always like, it's always a haven of calm. I think it is withdrawal. For me, you know, there is just blessing in switching off from the noise of the world. It's funny, you don't realise how noisy life is until you withdraw. You know, Hugh made the point of astronauts having to be trained to endure silence, actually endure it, you know, because they don't ever, because life doesn't ever offer you those moments. You know, we are surrounded by constant, constant noise. Not bad, but it's constant noise. And I think that makes it, I mean, it was funny on Sunday, we could hear, as Hugh was preaching, we could hear all the kids, couldn't we, screaming, you know. That's the point where I think my daughter started crying because it was too loud. But the reason they were doing that game was they were getting the kids to scream, and then one of the leaders was trying to give some instructions and then saying, who could hear what I was saying?
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
And the whole point was, you can't hear because there's so much noise. So, you know, all of us want to learn, don't we, how to hear the voice of God. And I think, you know, we know from Scripture that, you know, God, from the story of Elijah, you know, he doesn't always shout, you know, he whispers. I think Mike Pilavachi uses this phrase, he talks, you know, God whispers to his friends but shouts at his enemies. And I think there's that sense of, like, actually, we need to do this in order to hear his voice, in order to hear him, in order to shut out from all the other noises and all the other distractions, both externally and internally, so that we can tune in. You know, it's the tuning in moment, isn't it? I'm going to tune out from all the other frequencies that are buzzing around all the time, and I'm going to tune into him. So for me, and I'm on very early stages of entering into this journey, but having those moments where I just withdraw to a different room, or once the kids have all gone off to school, and then just sit, you know, in stillness and silence, and just, and not even, not to achieve anything either. That's the other thing. Just to be. I think that's the big thing about this practice, is it's just about being with. You know, all these abiding practices are about being with, but some of them are being with through an action or an output or something. Whereas I think this is just learning how to be. You know, and embracing the fact that Jesus wants to spend time with me, even if I do absolutely nothing. That's quite profound. You can kind of understand, I'll have his attention if I'm praising. I'll have his attention if I'm worshipping, or if I'm reading the word, if I'm learning, if I'm serving, or whatever it is. You know, if I'm fasting, if I'm doing something for him, you kind of go, oh yeah, of course, he'll be with me, I have his attention. But if we're literally just sitting, there is no other, and we're not doing anything else. Like, that's the very definition, surely, of enjoying grace, isn't it? You know, like, and you think about, I don't know, descriptions of people, really, really close friends, or people who've been married long, long time. One of the things that you'll often see is just that comfortableness in silence. They don't have to fill the air with words or noise. They can just be together. And I think that, for me, gets to the heart of what's happening in silence and solitude. It's just learning, I can just be, and I can receive his love.
Yeah. In terms of what we've been picking up, this thread, haven't we, that I mentioned, just to test it on this one, this idea of a continuous, intentional communion, relational communion with Jesus. We can talk about our quiet time in the classic sense of once a day or whenever. But what about, I'm busy looking after my kids, I'm busy at work, I'm under stress. How can we grasp abiding through silence and solitude during the day?
I mean, Hugh gave some good examples.
That's why I was alluding to.
Of kind of, I think he called them momentary mutings.
That's
I think we've put them in the notes as like little solitudes. I think we're fighting for those moments of stillness, fighting for those moments of quiet, you know, wherever that is, you know. And I think probably all of us, I mean, you know, for some of it's harder than others. If you've got young kids, you know, at home or whatever, finding those moments of silence throughout the day aren't going to be hard. You know, it's not going to be straightforward.
No.
If you've got a really, really demanding job. But even so, I still think within the day, maybe people will disagree with me, I still think there are moments, if you fight for them, there are moments you can go, I'm just gonna stop. Just if even if it's just for a minute or 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm just gonna still my mind and my heart. I'm just gonna breathe in and breathe out. I'm just gonna breathe in God's, you know, grace and goodness, and then I'm gonna go again. And I think the reason this practice is important is because the more that we practice external silence and solitude, I think the more that we can live with internal silence,
mm-hmm.
even when the external is busy. Because that's the goal, I think, of this. You
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
learning how to be. I can be at peace,
yeah.
even in the chaos and craziness of life, that I can have an inner stillness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where we want to get to. So the way we get to the inner stillness is to practice the external stillness, which opens up the door to being inwardly still. Because then I think if you, the more you do that, you'll find that the your even though your body may enter and your ears may enter back into the noise and business of mm. life, your heart might start to stay in the place
yeah,
of
mind. Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. No, I think you're right, definitely, in terms of, it, you know, we could look at silence and solitude, again, per se, but we're looking at abiding through
yeah.
it. And I think that tends more to look at this continuous mm. daily. Mm. And I think they all join up again, don't they?
Yeah.
The other disciplines all help this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for 30 seconds, you could have one word, or say two words, the cross.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for 30 seconds, you can just pause and go to the cross and just say, that's amazing. That's astounding. Yeah. I'm still amazed, Lord.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm still amazed.
Yeah.
Even that, only takes 15 seconds.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
For me, that's such an important reset.
Yeah.
That's a little silence that I've grasped in a, yeah. in a day.
Yeah.
Which will possibly lead into the next item. In terms of responding then, with our small group, they worked so hard the night that we looked at this. They worked really hard in the 10 minutes. It
yeah.
wasn't easy.
Yeah.
It was really, really hard yeah. work to... Yeah. actually spend 10 minutes actually focus it. And I for our group I try to get them to visualize something mm-hmm. to actually keep in their mind
yeah.
and come back to the yeah. whole time. So that's just one technique mm. but it was so difficult for all of us to actually for 10 minutes
yeah.
to keep that one thing, which happened to be the cross again mm. in your mind without all these other feelings and distractions coming in mm. So What's your view about how important it is for the church to just persevere in this response section? Because
yeah.
we could try it in a small group, couldn't we?
Yeah.
But yeah. what if we don't do anything for the rest?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with all of these, there's always going to be the danger, like we said in one of our other podcasts, that we can talk about it, we can try it once, and then we can never do
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that we can try it once and go, well, that was really hard mm. and unfruitful. I don't feel
yeah,
any
yeah,
difference.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that again. I think there are some that are, you know, more used to the idea
mm.
That we can more obviously see the benefit, mm. perhaps. But partly it's about trusting, isn't it? That,
mm.
you know, every time we open ourselves up intentionally to the presence of God, he's mm. he's faithful and he's going to come and work. He's
mm.
going to come and do some stuff in us. But I remember reading a quote that said that a quiet heart, which again is what we're after, is grace given, you know, so we need God's grace and mm. strength to access it, but fought for, you know,
yeah.
we have to fight
no,
for it.
No, that's really
and
well
so
put.
I think this is definitely a challenge for us because we're mm. so unused to silence.
Mm.
Freaks us out. You know, we just mm. don't know. We have, if you go through your day and analyze the number of times you actually are just quiet,
mm.
you know, without the background noise of the TV,
mm.
conversation, radio, you know, podcasts, ironically, you know, whatever it is, there's just, it is constant noise. And we, not just constant noise, but constant noise directed at us. Constant information directed at us, whether we're aware of mm. it or not. And so we find it hard because we're out of practice.
Yeah,
we just
yeah,
don't,
yeah.
You know, we don't do silence.
Mm.
You know, we don't do solitude.
Yeah.
Some people, unfortunately, are enforced to do solitude, but
mm.
then it's not something they've chosen.
Mm.
And so it leads to, you know, like it leads to isolation and
mm.
you know, and loneliness and stuff, and that's really hard. And so somebody listening to this going, well, I do have silence and solitude actually because it's enforced upon me because
yeah,
I don't see people.
Yeah,
that, why is that a practice? You know, actually for them, it's like, well, how do you then, how do you turn those moments into moments with God
yeah.
rather than just
in relationship,
moments, yeah, relationship
yeah.
rather than just on your own?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Because we're never on our own. He's
yeah,
always,
yeah,
he's
no,
always
exactly.
with us. But equally, those people we need as a church to be going, well, we probably, you know, we want to be gathering them into another spiritual practice, which is community, because that's what they're going to benefit from. But I think for most of us who don't have that silence and solitude, it's just counter the way we're wired. And so probably what you'll find is, you did with your small group, when you start it, you will find it really, really hard. And you will feel, because also what happens when you do it, all of the repressed thoughts and emotions we don't give ourselves time to think about because we're just too busy and we're rushing around and it's too noisy, bubble up to the surface.
Oh, I think we saw that on that night.
And so you'll get people actually who find it, come out of it quite agitated. And they'll go, well, it didn't make me feel peaceful at all. Like, I feel stressed, But
what are you doing to us?
But you've got to persevere. So I've read, if you're, and again, you've got to start where you are. So don't jump, if you've never done it before, don't jump to a 3-day retreat, of silence. You literally start with 2 minutes in the morning. Can you sit there, for 2 minutes? And you go, oh, I tried and my mind went everywhere. That's why having a focus, your mind will go everywhere. It will. It's suddenly, we said it in one of the other ones, your brain's never neutral. It's always thinking of something. So it doesn't ever, there's never just a vacuum. It's just I'm not thinking of anything. No, you're always thinking of something. When you stop, you're going to think of something. So you need to have a way of focusing your heart towards Jesus.
And that could be a word or a prayer.
A word, a picture, prayer, whatever. You talked about visualizing the cross. What I've been doing is just taking deep breaths in and out. And every time I take a breath in, I've just been breathing in a different characteristic or attribute of God. So I've just been, I breathe in your goodness. I'm just thinking that. And then I'm breathing in your grace. And I'm thinking of that. And then just repeating it, those different things. And actually, I found that doing that, the time does go, because there's endless attributes. I can just keep kind of going, or I can say the same one over and over again. But you will find it hard. I think, if you can start by just a couple of minutes and make that a practice, and then move up to 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and then if 10 minutes a day became a regular practice, I genuinely think, I've heard testimonies of people, and I don't think I'm there yet, but I've heard testimonies of people who say just 10 minutes a day for a season just was really, really transformative. And then you can up that to an hour.
Well, thanks for doing that. Well, thanks for putting all this work together. And thanks for talking to me.
That's all right, mate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff.